In the name of our Lord Jesus, who returns us to a right relationship with the Father. Amen. The passage of Scripture, which serves as the basis of our Lenten meditation on this Ash Wednesday, is a portion of the Old Testament reading appointed for today from Joel chapter 2. A while ago, I heard of a Lutheran pastor in Colorado who, on Ash Wednesday morning, discovered that there were no ashes ready for the upcoming rite of imposition of ashes. It was the tradition in this congregation that in the previous year, the palm fronds from Palm Sunday would be gathered and kept and then burned, and the ashes would be used for the next Ash Wednesday rite. But this pastor discovered that apparently no one in the altar guild had attended to this project, and so there were no ashes. There were not even any palm fronds available. This was in a remote part of Colorado, and so he couldn't just drive to the nearest religious supply store and get some ashes, nor could he have time to order them and have them delivered. And so this pastor decided that he would do what he thought would be the second best thing, and that is burn what had been used in the chancel a few months earlier, the old Christmas tree. That Christmas tree was still back in the brush pile behind the church. It had been used for a sacred purpose earlier, so he thought this would be appropriate. And he went out with the pruner and pruned off several branches, dried branches of the Christmas tree, put them in a container, burned them, and collected the ashes, and used these for the rite of the imposition of ashes. Everything seemed to go fine until later that night, he received a phone call from a frantic member, one of his parishioners who had received the imposition. And she was frantic because she couldn't wash the ashes off, the mark off. And then he received call after call after call. Everyone who had received the imposition had trouble washing the mark off. In fact, it turned out that it took several days, for some of them over a week, before the mark disappeared. What happened? Well, apparently, the needles of that Christmas tree previously had been painted with some kind of a spray paint that would preserve them and make them look more green. And with these ashes, the chemical qualities of that paint were retained. And so what this pastor was doing was painting the sign of the cross on his parishioners. Well, it certainly was an unintended consequence of the pastor's action, but upon further reflection, he decided it had a message. And the message is that our repentance and the evidence of our repentance is not only limited to one day, but it is to be ongoing. It is to be constant. And indeed, today, that is a message for us as we begin this penitential season of Lent, as we participate in this day of penance, and that is that it is a constant reality in our lives. Martin Luther, in the first of his 95 theses, wrote, "Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ willed that the whole life of the believer be repentance." The whole life of the believer be repentance. And that is the call from the prophet Joel today as well, that our whole lives be marked with repentance. He says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God." The word that is used twice in this short passage is return. It's the Hebrew word shuv. It's the most common word used for repent. And that is the call that Joel has for these ancient Judahites, but also for us. Oh yes, there was an occasion for which he was making this summons to repent. The ancient Judahites were falling away from the Lord, sinning, but it is a constant message for all of us. Perhaps that's why it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me." Now. When is now? Now is always. Whatever time you find yourself in is now. That is the time to repent. And why must our repentance be constant? It is because we are always sinful. We bear the condition of sinfulness, which manifests itself in sinful deeds, always. Perhaps you've heard the story of the man who prayed to the Lord, "Lord, today I haven't lied, I haven't cheated, I haven't deceived anyone, I haven't gossiped, I haven't spoken an unkind word, I haven't had a lustful thought or a malicious intention, I haven't had a selfish motive. But Lord, now it's time for me to get out of bed." Doesn't take long until we are out of bed and the sinful condition, thought, word, and deed, manifests itself. This is why Luther, in his explanation of the fifth petition, says, "We daily sin much and are deserving of God's judgment." That's what we deserve. And yet, Joel here says that God will turn from his judgment. And he uses the very same word, shuv, to describe God. That same word that is applied to sinful human beings, the call to turn, to repent. Listen, "Return to the Lord your God," that's the call to us sinners, "for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent?" It's the same word there, shuv, turn. God turns. He turns from his wrath, from his judgment, to grace and mercy. The word relent here has that same sense of turning, turning from the calamity that is our due to blessing. Why does he do this? It's because of his character. His character that Joel here describes. "For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." He is gracious. He bestows grace. What is grace? It's simply receiving that which you don't deserve, which is very good. God's forgiveness, his life, his righteousness. But it says God is also merciful. Well, if grace is receiving the good you don't deserve, mercy is not receiving the bad you do deserve. That calamity, that judgment, his wrath. He is merciful. Slow to anger, long suffering, patient, not wishing any to perish, but all to come to repentance, and abounding in steadfast love. His covenant love is poured out to you in a limitless supply, to sinners, to the chief of sinners. That's his character. That's his attitude towards us. And yet, his turning took more than just character and attitude. It took action. And the action that God took was to send his Son to bear the burden of our guilt and the curse and judgment for that. In And in so doing, God did some more turning. He turned from judgment and punishment upon us to judgment and punishment upon Christ. The appointed epistle reading for today from 2 Corinthians 5 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting people's sins against them. God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might receive the righteousness of God. To be sin on our behalf. On the cross, Christ bore your sin and my sin, all sins of all humanity of all time. He was teeming with sin. And when that happened, the Father turned once again. He turned his face from his Son and from the sin that that Son bore that was so loathsome to the Father. As the Son cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because of our sin that we might be restored. Today on this Ash Wednesday, we turn, we repent, we are returned to the Lord through our repentance. Many of us will bear the mark of that, the ashes, signifying our filthy sin. And yet, that mark is also the mark of the cross, the same mark that was placed upon you at your baptism, the mark that marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. That mark is a mark which is truly indelible and permanent.